with your presence. There's no place we'd rather be than in your presence, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I'm
normally do on Wednesday nights. We have the offering plate in the back, and if you would like to just greet each other in Jesus' name and sing along with us.
I do so happen to have, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about one in particular lesson that Brother Norris taught us in Bible school that has always been, it's all scripture, so it's easy to understand and to go that way. But Sunday morning I made mention a few things about us, being careful in the church, and I probably feel like that when Brother Wells came in, I could have maybe laid a better foundation for the behavior that we have as a body, and we are a body, and we are the body of Christ, and we are all members in particular, and with that, we know that within the body, things that can happen that ought not to happen, but they do happen, and so I'd like to talk a little bit about that tonight. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 18 first, and I tell you what I'm going to do. Instead of having you stand for a reading right now, I'm going to have you go and be seated and just make sure you got your Bibles open and are your Bible on your laptop there. I'm sure that most people would understand this tonight. If I can just kind of dig back in my brain is really, you know, probably not quite as sharp, it seems like, in every way. My sister Day, she never, you know, she'd never forget anything, you know. And so if I stay with this scripture, we're going to read some text and just take from that. And one thing good about reading from Bible text and lesson and finding a segment of scripture that maybe covers a whole subject within itself, you can break that down and keep your nose in one place and realize that it's not my word, it's God's word. Amen. And it's not my church, it's God's church. And if we would only listen, I got a Facebook thing the other day talking about people that, you know, had something with God and made the statement on the line that, well, why would you want that now when you never listened to him before? And sometimes that's what leads us into problems, is that we know scripture or we forget about it for a while, or we want to forget about it for a while just so that we can stand up and make a statement. In Matthew 18, there is, I'm going to just a couple little subjects that we can get to before we get down to verse 15, which is, I believe, the main text of our lesson tonight. The Lord had problems with his disciples and with other people, and usually it was what happens in a church, that they decide to take a little bit of a shot one against the other, and that's not very healthy. And it's really not the way to solve problems in the church. There are times that you might have to solve with some, a problem with somebody at work, and they're not interested in anything the Bible says. But in the church, if we make a statement and it is a truth, that's the first thing we have to ask, is that really in the Word of God? And is that really God's program? And it is, because it's in the book. And lessons like that make it easy to teach, because you realize there's a subject there and maybe a reflection back in your life of some things that have happened to you that might have been a little offensive. Brother Davis might share a little story with you in a little bit of some things that happened to me that could have really been, you know, very, very hard for me to handle as a kid. And yet it's something that happened within the church. It was kind of a big thing. It didn't come to fruition, but, you know, obviously that. But it comes from this lesson, Matthew chapter 18. Notice in verse 2, it talks about Jesus called the little children, set them in the midst of them, and said, "Verily, verily, or verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become like a little, or as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest of the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever receiveth this little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones and which believe in me, it would have been better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that were drowned in the depth of the sea. And woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto the man and who the offense cometh." And when he talks about this, of course, he's talking about little children, because little children normally are, they don't even know what being offended is. They're that innocent to where they just, you know, they're there. And so the Lord pronounces this judgment. And when he talks about that word offend, he is talking about a word that means that you trip somebody up. You made them fall. Okay, and so that falls upon, you got the offended and you got the offenser, amen, or the one that is coming and doing that. So he gives us a little example of children, and like I said, the innocence of that has to tie into a part of what I want to talk to you later about, because it's God's word. It's in God's place. It's in the text of the scripture, amen. If we drop down a little bit further, it says, verse 6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would have been better for him to him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. But woe unto the world because of offenses. It must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto the man that offended him. He's talking about those that are outside of the group now that can come. And I know that one thing, we've all probably have been offended by more people that were not in church than people that are in church. Amen. And there's always those people that sometimes will really, you know, especially when you walk on a job and you're a minister and people start, you know, kind of talking about their little jokes that they have against Christians and you know, preachers in particular and things like that. You know, they do it for fun, but sometimes it can become very offensive. Amen. And you have to be around. And so here again, it says, woe the world, verse 7, woe the world, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto the man by whom that offense comes. You have offended and the offender. Amen. Wherefore, if thy hand say to the foot, cut it off and cast it from thee, it is better for thee to enter into life halt and maimed rather than having two hands or two feet and be cast into the everlasting fire. If thy eye offend thee, if thy eye, now you're talking about internally almost here, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Be disciplined enough to see if you got something in your life that's tripping you up, you know, and making you stumble. Then it's worthy to you deal with that. Amen. And it's another offense. And so it's better for you to, you know, let me go and read this here. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it into the sea. It is better that you enter into life with one eye rather than have two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Can I get some water? Thank you. Take heed that you despise not these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven the angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man cometh to save that which is lost. And how think ye that if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, he is not to leave the 99, doth he not leave the 99, and go into the mountains, and seeketh a man that which is gone astray? And if it so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiced more than the sheep, amen, of the sheep, than the 99 which were not astray, which went not astray. Even so, is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. All right, now he goes into a lost sheep. Amen. It was a part of a flock. Amen. 99 others besides him. But these sheep were innocent. That's the nature of a sheep. It is not a fighting animal. It is something that is totally dependent upon a leader, and something separates him from the leader of that flock that was hurting them and the other 99, and so suddenly they realize that this one has gone astray. And in reading that in the text of this subject, you wonder sometime, I wonder if one of the 99 offended him, or more than the 99, kind of stood against him. You know, one of the big problems that we have in school today is the fact that you know, we know that there are what we call bullies. And so what I'm doing is just trying to share with you this little foundation that God, you know, doesn't like for people to be offended. He doesn't want people to be offenders where they go out against somebody else. I was at the fair today a little bit walking around, and I saw a kid that just kind of stooped over and, I'm sorry, headed deep. I should answer that, let you know what's going on. Okay. And so he was tying his shoe, and he was behind a couple, you know, getting some Mexican food. And he looked up, and when I saw him, I thought, I bet that was his parents that walked by earlier. So the parents just kept on walking, you know, and the son, like children, you know, he suddenly realized mom and the brothers are gone. And he jumps up, and man, he takes off, and he's going to find that. But it's easy for people, amen, especially animals and small children, and people like Brother Davis, it's easy for us to fall behind. You know, I see somebody, and I figure I ought to talk to them, you know, and I do that. And so with this, he kind of, you know, lays a little bit of a foundation in this text of how Like I said, it's a number of offenses that can come in different ways to them and pretty mild. And then we break into this subject starting with verse 15. And it says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between him and thee alone, and he shall hear thee, and thou hast gained a brother. Amen. And so the first step that you have, if there is something that happens, and folks, again, this is the word of God. This is instructing the things that this is how you solve your problem. And, you know, there's other people that want to go other ways. There's some people that as soon as somebody offends them, it's as if they don't want to ever talk to them before. The quicker you talk to somebody over something that would happen between you and them or whatever, is the quicker the problem's going to be solved. Amen. John Maxwell tells a little story. I think it's John Maxwell that one thing that you need to know in the church, especially when you're in leadership, but in the church in particular, that if somebody comes to you and starts something, and it's like two buckets, you know, that somebody holds, and one bucket he has a fire going, on the other bucket he's got water. And so somebody would come to them and present them with a problem, and you got to have to ask, you know, a couple questions here. You need to really make a good decision. Is this serious? Is it really something that's going to hurt somebody? And if it is, don't put fire on it. If somebody's being lazy, you know, if somebody's not getting it, you might want to put a little fire underneath that. Amen. But when it comes to a time that you are aware that there is a problem that is there, amen, you've got a bucket of water and a bucket of fire that is burning, then make sure that you put the right thing on the fire that is there, the trouble that is there. And so it's easy to remember. It's all about downplaying things more than trying to get behind and maybe make them a little bit bigger than they are. Now, I'm not saying some of our problems are not big. We have big problems throughout the church, and we're not erasing that at all. But now we're coming to the place to where, notice it says that now this man, your brother, shall... It makes a statement, your brother shall trespass against thee. It really carries on an offense there. There was something that your brother did to you that was not right. It was against. It was a trespass. It was something that would hurt somebody. And we can recognize that. And our first tendency is, I never talk to them again. You know, in our pain, sometimes as individuals, we go through that stage. It can happen to any one of us that we can get something that would really trip us up a little bit. How many's ever been tripped up? Come on. Forgive me of this, because I took a couple pills that are the worst tasting pills I've ever taken in my life before I got here. And I'm dealing with that taste as well as dryness, and so, and we need more time anyway. All right, so if thy brother, verse 15, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. And so there is what we're trying to do is in a church. It's hard to hold on to people enough as if to have problems on top of it. And we're not representing anybody in this world except Jesus Christ. And we have to recognize our walk with him. There are going to be people that will try to offend you. And there are sometimes that even maybe once every 3, 4, 5 years, your husband or wife may offend you. Or your neighbor might be offended because of something that you had, and you might recognize that. Or maybe you look at somebody and you realize they got a problem with me, or I got a problem with them. And so the best thing to do is just get them off to the side. And of course, hopefully that you are dealing with a specific situation and you're there to try to understand what that person was saying and give them an understanding of how you took it and get them off and not make it a church problem. As a matter of fact, the Lord says after this, you've gained a brother. You gained a brother that could have been lost because of this, tripped up enough to where he could have gone out. And thank God you recognized that and got to that person and says, you know, did I happen to offend you when I talked about the Cardinals beating the Cubs all the time? Or other things that can come along. It could just be the simplest little thing. You know, Brother Davis, I have offended people just when I was just trying to be friendly to them. You know, and I realized, well, that didn't go over right. I could tell by their look. And you have to sit there and say, oh, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. I just heard somebody have to do this today. Amen. And so when it happens, it would not necessarily be intentional. You know, it may be intentional. And so when you go through this, that's why you have to be. And the first option is not take three people with you, but just go yourself and see if you can resolve the thing. And as Christians, I think that we would resolve a whole lot more and save a whole lot more time if we would stay to that. So that's the first step, is keep it small. You know, one of the things you do in counseling is you try to tell people when they're having little problems to keep it small. Because the more you let it out, you know, the worse it's going to get. And the more you tell, especially, you know, stay away from your family, stay away from your friends, get to a pastor or somebody you have confidence with and talk to that person. And if you're needing direction, and get the problem resolved as quickly and as soon as possible. Now, there are times, and like I said, it talks about your brother trespassed you and then what you have to do. Once that trespass comes, it ought to be that person that feels that, whether it was legitimate or not, to take off and say, okay, I did the wrong thing. I said something. I can tell that I offended somebody. And then if they don't recognize that, that's the other person can come the same way and say, hey, did you realize the other day, you know, what you said? And probably the person could have taken it wrong, but you resolved that, whether it's a absolute trespass or whether it's something you just kind of felt in yourself. We have emotions like that, you know. Amen. Your bills are out there and you're having problems in life and something else comes along and it does a little trip up, you know. And our purpose now is to get up, amen, and get on with our walk with God. Now, we drop down to the next line. If he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that the mouth of two or three witnesses, that every word would be established. Okay? If he will not hear thee, then take one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Well, that's a good establishment of a statement, but it's not the only place that reference is made. You know, we are told about how that two or three witnesses, it was always requiring, the law was requiring things that would happen, and the just the simple little problem that came up where there were two or three witnesses, you know, that word, if somebody was alone and makes an accusation, it could very well be mistaken or not there. But now we want to take two or three more because we want to have a witness of what somebody said. And sit down with them to the point, and I know it's a little bit more serious, but you can bridge another gap. And that person might feel intimidated. But I think the person that felt intimidated would feel a whole lot much better if he knew that he had two or three people that are offended almost in the same way. Amen. And know the story, and they're down to get to the problem and get it resolved. It would have been easier if it was one-on-one, but one against three, you know, is better than one against 53 or 103. And so, again, it is all about keeping everything as small as possible. The pastor falls into the degree to where I'm sure that in a lot of situations, they just need to go and talk to the pastor maybe about their problem, you know, and then the pastor give them a direction to where, you know, they're not kind of bringing somebody else in the story. Amen. And how I treat you and how you treat me matters. Amen. And even when you take it wrong, you might say, oh, that was such a little thing. It was a little thing maybe to you, but maybe the person that you said it to. I'm fully persuaded that I've offended more than one time. Could we get the ushers in here to throw this rebellious woman out of here? Now verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and as a publican. And so now he goes to something that is a little bit more drastic. You know, it wasn't just probably something that they slipped up and said. It was maybe something that they did. I used to always like to talk about stealing chickens. How many did he stole? But, you know, whatever it is in life, if somebody came and just, you know, did almost something criminal, you definitely should love that brother enough to say, well, I hope I can keep him out of jail. I mean, that was a serious trespass. But when it comes into the church and somebody has got this, maybe something passing around or something that is, you know, happened to them and offended them to where they just want everybody to know that this is the problem that I'm dealing with right now. And so it goes a person, two or three witnesses. It goes to the whole church. I'm sure the story is told, a trial is held, and the church makes the decision. And if he doesn't listen to the decision of the church, then all of a sudden he is more likely, amen, to just go on his own or go out into life. Let me find this. I'm not used to this. He would be treated as a heathen man or a publican or somebody. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that a man offended, it's harder to be one than a strong city. And so that's why we want to stay away from what we call offenses and getting into people's lives. And I just take my word for it, and probably everybody in here can say the same thing. I have been hurt. I have been offended. There have been sometimes it was so small that it wasn't going to bother you and disturb you emotionally or mentally, and you might withdraw that and just go on and be the person's friend. A lot of times you can make up. and so what comes in, it just, you know, it just settles everything down in you and them, and you're not losing sleep. How many has ever anybody here ever lost a night's sleep because of an offense? Raise your hand. And see, it doesn't do any good. And so you want to take care of it as fast as you can. And so the Lord is kind of teaching this deep subject to them. And then all of a sudden, we drop down and it says, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 18, that whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree, now not disagree now, but if you two agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, uh, I go back to 18 and just have to read down it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whatsoever, or yes, you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say unto thee, if two of you shall agree on earth touching anything, it shall they shall ask, it shall be done unto them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now here we hear this two or three gather again. Now we're coming together to try to make a positive motion, amen, of a good thing. A thing that has been given to us. We agree on earth touching anything that they shall ask. It shall be done for them of my Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. We have to believe that God is a part of us. We have to trust that God is a part of us, even when a difficult time is coming. And so he goes on and says this, and Peter says, Lord, then, and of course he tells them, if any two or three are gathered together, I'm going to be in your midst, and you're going to ask, and I'm going to give, and you're going to be treated real fine and kind. And then Peter comes up with this verse that says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall I forgive, or shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Seven times? God just told you that if you just sit together in peace, you know, and have unity, that whatever you ask, my Father's going to give it to you. And Peter's still worried about, and this is the problem that you have in the church, and if it can happen to him, it can happen to us. Amen. He goes back and he says, you know, how many times do I have to forgive him? Seven times? And the Lord talks to him about the seven times 70, that multiplication of the perfect number, you know, that kind of grows into the place. And I really don't know that I've ever had anybody offend me 490 times. That's a lot of the times for them to kind of get you tripped up. I'd say they got your number. Amen. And you're listening to them too much. And you know, sometimes if you're offended to somebody, you're carrying that offense. Bible school. I was just a humble little saved in March. Went to Bible school in June to get ready for Bible school. Stayed up there and got a head start on the job. And we weren't supposed to do that, but I didn't know that. And I was going with a friend that had planned on going there. But when I was in Bible school, I'm going to have to reflect back here a few minutes just to kind of show you a little problem. Pulled up to a car, shot a man, and kidnapped the fiance. And when he left there, I don't know why, but he came to a place called Chittyville. That's, you've heard me talk about Chittyville a lot, and I was delivering papers, and I think I was probably playing ball or something, and time got away from me, and now all of a sudden it's like 8:30. Right? And I decided I'm going to have to get going, and as I'm driving on my route, I come off of a path that was by Chittyville Road, which I know you know where it is, and I hear the most horrifying scream that you could ever hear. And so I stopped at the school. I didn't go down to deliver my papers. I was just scared to death, and I didn't know what else to do, and I thought, well, I'm going to get home next. And I was getting home. As I was going home, this guy had knocked this girl out. She had bruises under her jaw, which I was imagining this is the time that it happened. Passed me up, took her to a farmhouse, shot her in the back of the head, threw in her well, you know, and that kind of happened. The closest person to that whole crime was me. And but I never really, my mom and dad never said much to me about that story. I delivered papers for a week, month, and never heard never even thought about that. And I would probably predict this, that they were making sure that when I was folding papers, that that paper was either on the comic section or the sports section, you know, and not on the front section. And so anyway, through that, I kind of just brushed this off, didn't hear it really do a whole lot about anything. I just, you know, when I was 18, 19, went to Bible school. My mom calls me up and says, Bill, you need to go to the airport or go to a bookstore because that story is in a national, I mean, in a crime magazine. And so I went to up to the airport lobby where the store where they would have the magazines, and I found the magazine right off and took it home. I didn't read it. I didn't feel like I had time. I mean, I want to get home, go to bed, you know, just get on my life. And so I just pitched it in a drawer, and I put it in a place to where it was going to be a keepsake, and someday I would pull it out and look at it and find out what all happened, because I really didn't know everything that I said about the first part until a few years ago. So I was going down to let you know how this worked. It was not even in my mind until I was going to Florida to meet a friend and spent some time in Florida. That's where the Cardinals train, and we were going to maybe see a ball game or two, five or six of them. And I stopped to see my brother, though, in northern Florida. And he said something to me. He says, Bill, did you realize that they have finally released the kind of like the official report, court report, and said, you know, Joe Harry Milani's, his record's been released. And I stood there and I thought, I knew that, but I went somewhere too fast there. So I go into this because of this magazine. It comes up missing. And somebody got it out of the floor. It up in a place to where this thing that was called a forebeller. And a forebeller was a solemn assembly. That means everybody would come into the chapel and they would deal with a real serious problem. And I got in there and I'm sitting there, and this has been totally out of my mind a short time, but this time. And so he holds up a crime magazine. And it didn't bother me. Didn't even notice it. It didn't trip me. It just it was like it was somebody else's story. It wasn't mine. And I forgot all about it until my brother, 33 years later, brought up the fact that, you know, Joseph Harry Milani, you know what he did and these recording things there. And so it triggers in my mind when I see my brother, that was my magazine. 33 years ago, that was my magazine that he had in a forebeller. Now, this is the point I want to make. Anyway, when this all came down, and my brother, not when the guy asked me, well, that was your magazine, I said, well, somebody must have. I mean, I was totally oblivious to the idea and the fact that that was my magazine. And so I went on life until my brother says this, and when he says that, he makes a statement about one thing, I says, that was my magazine. Davis doesn't like the fact that I've gathered a lot of information on this front. house and say, hey, you know, look what Bill Davis, that ungodly sinner, had in his drawer. You know, and demons were coming out of it. And, you know, so anyway, with this going on, I mean, he bypasses the first one by saying, no, first of all, he had to tell me he got a drawer. You know, and so he probably wasn't real comfortable with that, but he was wanting to tell my dorm supervisor, and I never heard from them. And then it goes to probably Brother Grant and Brother Norris, and they look it over. I mean, I had the bear up there. I didn't have some little, you know, teacher that he sent. The president of the Bible college, you know, came and stood behind the pulpit and said, you know, now, we don't have stuff like this around here, you know, and holds that book up and says, and whoever this book is, you come up here right now and get it. I remember that. But I didn't remember it was by Kim Agustin. So I don't feel bad about lying or, you know, not doing the truth. And so anyway, you know, make a long story short, what should have happened? You know, at least the dorm supervisor should have said, Bill, what's this doing in your room? Our brother Norris, by all means, had the power to say, you know, and he was not always the kindest person when he saw something like that. And, you know, it was a magazine that had maybe a crime scene that looked bad, but it wasn't anything that was, to me, that seemed to be all that offensive. But it was all about a story that my mom calls me up. It would have been my mom's trouble, my problem. I would have blamed it on her, you know, that you told me to go get that magazine, and I went and obeyed you, amen, and bought that magazine. What's that? So anyway, that's what I would have had to say if it would have registered. 33 years when my brother said that, I said, man, I forgot about that whole story. 33 years at least. And so not anything, the last thing was the first thing that they wanted to set up in the procedure. Now, what would have happened if I would have thought, is that my next? I was there, and it very easily could have brought destruction to my life that I would have never, ever, ever, ever wanted to go back. And so that's why we have to watch things to where, you know, statements that we make, and sometimes we get angry and we need to just bite our tongue. And if we know it's going to be a serious thing, to have a witness, amen. If it's going to be a real strong thing that needs to be resolved and they're going to have to listen to a church, it's just not done anymore, and it needs to probably be done so that people would know that we have a problem. You know, come and talk to me, and you know, the first time I'd probably say, well, go talk to them by yourself. Just discuss it with them. You know, if it needs to get more attention, then we will, you know, do that, but by all means. And that's one of the things that stayed with me, and I am not bitter over it now. Matter of fact, obviously, I think it's... I have a couple ideas of it. One, but I didn't ever hear anything on anything. Maybe they called my pastor at home and said, hey, you know, found a magazine in Bill Davis's chest of drawers. Somebody did, and then it, you know, goes along. Or you look at that, you think that could have been, maybe the answer would have been, well, his mom. And it could have all come out to where it was, could have been very legitimate. I know one thing, though. When I was in Bible school, we had a big boy named Dennis Witkus that kind of got Sister Davis and I together. Played for the University of Missouri, left the University of Missouri on their football team, and went to Bible college. And when we played softball, Brother Norris would go out and play softball with us, and he always chose Dennis Wickes because of the size of his body. He could hit a ball unbelievable. He took me one day in the hallway and just grabbed me. And so anyway, I think I played one or two games of softball, and Brother Norris realized that I was a pretty good third baseman, and he chose me. When he went out to choose, he always got first choice. And he didn't choose Dennis Wickes. He chose me. You know, I just wish he really would have come and talked to me. Because I have found three or four magazines, but I've never found the magazine, copy of the magazine, that happened in that little scenario. Now, this isn't much of a Bible study, I know. But this was put on me pretty quick, and I almost was going to try to bring this. But in the church body, we need to have that fellowship, and we have to have that strong bond of love so that when something like that would come up, there would be something that can put it in place quickly. Get it under the blood. Amen. Go on with your life. Don't worry about it every day. Brother Davis didn't worry about it at all for 33 years, and I survived fine. Amen. I don't know if I would have if I had to only go a few days. To recognize that that was my magazine, it would have been a whole different story. But I'm thinking it can even happen amongst people like that that are in leadership, that I don't think they were, you know, out to hurt me or the school. You know, it was just something that was going to happen. He's going to get to the bottom of it. Sister Norris probably put him up to it. Well, she didn't like me near as much as she did him, or that he liked me. So, Lord bless you. Let's stand together. And I don't mean to, you know, be frivolous and just, you know, try to talk about that in a funny way, because it was a very, very serious time. It's a time that could have put me in a whole different perspective of the world if for some reason I would have remembered it was my magazine. I tell people it's a God thing to me. It's something that God just protected me from, that hid it from me until a time came that I could deal with it. And so... Was you saying something or just... Yeah. And everything turned out fine. Except me. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you, Lord, and we know you love us. We know that you care for us. Lord, when you look into our lives, you look into things that you want to bless. And Lord, you tell us to choose life. When you set before us life and death, God, you even show us the way to go, God, in our path. We're asking, Lord, that you would just give us this wisdom. Lord, implant your word into our hearts and into our minds. Lord, let the love of God grow so greatly to this body. Amen, Lord, that this body could be blessed with a church spirit of love. Amen, and God, to have fellowship one with another, to enjoy one another. Hallelujah, Lord, to do the work of God together. Lord, that we might bring revival to not just this city, but this whole area that we live in. Amen, God, that your name could be exalted, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord, would be revealed. Hallelujah, that other churches could be blessed. Lord, in your lovely name, you love us and you keep us. And God, we thank you for you, and we worship you for that, to know that we have such an awesome God, creator of the heaven and the earth and everything that's in them. And Lord, you're our personal Savior. Amen. You're our good King. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Lord bless you.